Blog Talk Radio.
Making the money that we have been planning to make from this venture.
we pray, everybody, you know, that you're ready to eat from the Word of the Most High on today. And we want to greet everybody in Blog Talk and Pal Talk on the Internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus Christ. And you know what? I need to check real quick because it's been so busy. I need to make sure that we have not missed a new moon. It seems like we have. My computer's been down, and so it has been, I've not kept up with this. I'm thinking it should have been about the 19th. About the 15th of October. Did we do a new moon service? Anybody remember? Okay. We missed it for this month then. The next one will be 13th, probably the 14th of November. That one. Yeah, we missed it this month. And I knew that it sounded like, you know, I think we were caught in the feast of, when did we do Tabernacle? Okay, that's what, around the 6th through the 8th or something like that, right? Okay, so yeah, I slept that. I missed this. And my computer went down and all my documents and everything were on this computer. And I didn't publish it on the website, and the website wasn't up in it either anyway. I did get your tithes, and I got yours also, Sister Denise. So let me acknowledge those from both of you right now. And, yeah, I got them, I think it was around the 6th or the 7th, something like that. I thought that I had not acknowledged those in text. I did not apologize, but yeah, I did receive them. And thank you for them. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and proceed with this. The lesson is discipleship. And after doing the last one, the last lesson, which I'm bobbling today. And that was to choose life. I pray, you know, I pray, Sister Denise, that I didn't confuse your guest the other night on newcomers. Hopefully it doesn't take her away, because some of these topics can, you know, they challenge people from what they've been taught, you know, what they feel like they know. And sometimes it draws people, sometimes it takes them away. So we'll see what happens. But I pray that, you know, I pray that she does what I ask her to do, was pray to show her those things. And I will teach it. We are starting in this, starting with the discipleship series. And it is, you know, critical that we understand what's required of us and what we're supposed to be doing. I always want to keep that in front of us so that we don't lose sight. I don't lose sight, you know, what the mission is, as far as the Most High says, what Messiah requires and what have you. And so this will probably be 3 or 4 lessons. I think I have in this document that I did before. I only did part of this document before. And I think it's something like maybe it's about 15 pages. And, you know, going over discipleship and different aspects of it. And so I did those things that were critical to understand, but I think I want to do the entire document lesson this time on it, and not just, you know, for me, in my walk in this latter part of my life, I like things simple. And like I said, I don't care who's right, I just want to know what's right. And I want to know what I'm supposed to do so that I can do it. Okay. I don't really care a lot for debating scripture or, you know, going outside of the scripture, because it's hard enough just doing what the Most High wants us to do and not get caught up in this world. And so when you're committed to it, then once you know what to do, then I just want to be doing it always. So this discipleship, you know, as I said, I've done pieces of this and really only the first part of it. And so we're going to get deep into it. So it'll probably be about, I'm going to think it's going to be four lessons, maybe more. We'll see how, what Yah says and how he, you know, takes me through this in that I can get into certain areas and then we'll go off. I won't say a tangent, but I'll let the Most High teach us how he wants to teach us, if that's what he wants us to know, and then come back to the lesson. Anyway, we want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the Internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, in the English. Whether you are in North America, South America, the African continent, the European theater, the Far East, the Middle East, any of the communist bloc countries, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Any men listening, uncover your heads. And let us do our statement of faith, go before the Most High on this Shabbat. You know, the Elohim we serve, he is so good. He really is. He is good to us. And with all the things, you know, let me, I guess I should go ahead and say this too. With all the things going on in the world, we're about to be dragged into another war. And I believe that it's going to not be what we think it is. We are going to, you know, we're trying to help Ukraine. We're trying to help, you know, we're going to try to be helping Israel. And I don't know why Israel would need help against Palestine. I mean, because they don't even have an army. You know, so Israel already has all the technology that the U.S. has. And so for us to be, you know, involved in that with that standpoint with Hamas kind of makes no sense to me. I think that what Hamas did was atrocious in that, you know, you don't go in and kill babies and stuff like that. Not unless you believe the Most High told you to do that, but that's not what they're saying. And somebody was asking me, well, isn't Hamas Ishmael? Ishmael. And Hamas claims to be Canaanite. But they're Canaanite. And so, you know, they're saying that they were always in the land. But, you know, the truth of the matter is the history of the land, and a lot of people, I don't know why they seem to forget this, but they discount it, is that the Most High gave us that land, our forefathers. We got kicked out. They moved. They were already in the land. We took it from them. Our forefathers did, and the Most High says his land. And that it belongs to him. And so the Canaanites, the Jebusites, and all these other races of people who are there in the land after we were kicked out, then we know that the Europeans in the United States put a people into the land and called them Jews. Okay? And so neither one of them really have a true claim to the land. But it sincerely bothers me that people who are claiming to be Jews, the commandments of the Most High, and don't keep his statutes and his ordinances, even when it comes to how they're supposed to treat their their enemy. And so, you know, the Most High has his ways, and they are not following them according to as was written in Torah and according to what is written in the New Testament. So I believe that, you know, anybody taking life, whether it is Hamas or whether it's Israel that way, the way that they're doing it, is just flat out wrong. And they really should step back. But, you know, these things be totally concerned with it or over-concerned because the scriptures tell us that there will be wars and rumors of wars. And these things will not happen, and this is not the end. And these things will not stop happening until Messiah returns. And so we know that we're not to get caught up in this to any degree. But to know that men are going to get into this. But, you know, it is my position that the people who are in the land claiming to be Israel, that, you know, the United States and Great Britain put into, you know, gave them that land. They weren't going to go there to begin with. They were actually going to go somewhere in West Africa. I think Nigeria was a place that they had talked about. Ghana was a place that they had talked about. You know, they really didn't know, because they've never really been in the land, they're not the people, where they should be and reestablish Israel at. But it's, you know, you can't walk from Egypt in a couple of months all the way to Nigeria. You can't walk around the coast of Africa that fast. You can't walk around through the Sahara Desert that fast. Into if Israel... two location, an original location was, you know, in on the west coast of Africa. Kingdom of Judah was on the west coast. But that would be after 70 AD. Before then, you got a lot of people that don't believe that the current location of Israel right now is the true location. But, you know, the Most High said that the promised land and what he was giving Israel was from the river, the Nile River, to the Euphrates River. But the Euphrates River does not run into East Africa or West Africa. So the location that they finally settled on is the true location of Israel. However, they were never there as people. And so, you know, this false nation that they set up and that the world is, you know, heralding as Israel, well, Messiah is going to have to come back and reestablish that. That's why I'm not in any hurry to go there. That's not what he set up. And, you know, men trying to make prophecy come true. But they put who they want to be there and don't want the true people to come back, mainly us. So, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen over there. We're going to, I believe, with what they're trying to do. I believe that they're really going to genocide most of the Palestinians. Just wipe them out. Because they're saying they can't tell the difference between them and Hamas. And, you know, they want that land. They've been, you know, slowly settling it through Jewish or occupied settlement. And, you know, oppressing the people. But the truth of the matter is, this is not going to stop until Messiah returns. And if they genocide these people, then how can they say that they're claiming to be the Jews of the Bible, they're claiming to be the people of the book, say anything about the Holocaust, or else they'll have a fit. But then if you commit the same thing against another people, how can you say that you're better than them? You just can't do it. Okay, so the Most High, you know, told us that, you know, we were to... If whatever you've gone through, we went through slavery and bondage in Egypt. He told us that we weren't to afflict the stranger that way or put them into bondage that way or treat them that way. Why? Because we went through it. So we should understand. And so, you know, it's going to be a big mess, and people are getting fired from their jobs for speaking on this subject. News reporters are getting fired. power, they will fire you. And that is, you know, Israel has to set up that book. So, you know, it is what it is. But I know that you don't do to a people and you don't oppress a people the way that they have done it. If they were going to do it, then they might have been lying when they first went. But, you know, they didn't do that. And over the years, they've tried to slowly but surely strangle them out. You know, anytime you're living in a land and you really don't have any freedom within that land, and your water and everything is controlled by somebody else, you are occupied. And they were there before these people got there. And so it's a hot mess. But, you know, I don't condone killing on either side. I don't condone the methodology that either one is using. The Most High has in the past, you know, told the king, you know, like Saul, go in and kill everybody, man, woman, and child. But I don't believe the Most High is talking to Israel, the people who are in the land. I don't believe he's telling them to do that. I think that's what they're going to do. Or attempt to do, and it's not something that he condones, because it, you know, when he told Israel to do it, when he told our forefathers to do it, it's because they preyed upon, the people preyed upon the weak in our society, those that were sickly and straggling behind, they attacked them without react, that, you know, he told David and he told Joshua, don't ever forget, you know, about the Amalekites. Don't forget them. And I'm going to wipe them from under heaven. They shall not be found on the earth anymore. But that's the Most High's doing. You know, I know that the land of Israel, the reason that I know that these are not the people, and, you know, and I'm not afraid to say it, I'm not ashamed to say it, is many modern-day traditions that they have, like it's okay, you know, 25% of the country is gay. Wait a minute, that goes strictly against the law. Things like that they are condoning when if they were the people, really, truly people of the book and, you know, were truly the Hebrews, then they would know that going back into the promised land, they would have to clean up the land, not pollute it. And so it is man. This is something that man did, not the Most High. So it is what it is, and they can say what they say. You know, Messiah will come back, and he will straighten it all up. And so that's the sign we're here for. I'm in the sky. Everything else, it's just a sign of the times, and what does the scripture say? It is the sign of the times of sorrow. Things are not going to get better. They're going to get worse. And it's going to get worse on a global scale. Not just in Jerusalem, not just in America, but everywhere. And so, you know, we have to understand that it's going to get bad, a lot worse, until Messiah comes. And the worse that it gets, a lot of that is going to be caused by the Most High to get men to repent, to turn from their wicked ways, to follow him. And he says, and for all that, they will not do it. So don't be troubled by this. Don't be upset. Don't be worried that the end of the world is coming. When Antichrist comes, then just know what you're supposed to be looking for and what you're supposed to be doing and not doing. Don't ever take the mark of the beast. Don't participate in that system. If you do that, you follow the Most High. If you don't, you know, follow him and follow the Most High, then you don't put your faith in man, then you will be okay. Put your faith in the Most High and what he's doing. All right, that being said, I wanted to touch on that because there's a lot going on, a lot of people concerned with what's happening in the the world does not want to see us where we're supposed to be. And that they can keep us confused, they can keep us down, oppressed, keep us believing lies, then they believe they will be able to hold on to the land as long as they want to. But this has been the Most High's land. And always has been and always will be. So nothing is happening without his permission by anybody. So we just wait on him. Amen? Amen. All right. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20-21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26-29. I can do all things through Mashiach, the strength of me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We give you glory, honor, and praise, and we worship you, and we lift you up, Father. For you are our Elohim, and another will we not bow down to, Father. Another will we not bow down to, except for you, Father, and worship you, for you are my Elohim and our Elohim, Father. And we just love you on today, Father. We love you, we love you, we love you, we love you, and we give you glory and honor and praise, for you are worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. You're worthy. You're the only one worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins and forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for we are all gone by the way to grave. And we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commands, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. So that if we would return from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake up and give them an answer to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and commands. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love for your love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice, and that they would come, and that they would obey your voice. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, may that you would smile upon us work, and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. The sounding of, well, let's do our scriptures for today. And I want to, let's just get Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. That's what it says. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It's fear Yah and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. For the Most High, a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me work upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Like
lies too much. And the truth out the truth back and forth too much.
Be patient with me, please.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Test, test, test. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Okay, that sounds better. So it must be my speaker. All right, so I'm just going to put the phone down. And not go through the speaker phone. On that. Sister Miles, is that still staticky on your end? Check 1, 2, 3. All right, it appears to have straightened up. When it's not going through the speaker. So
that's the way we will proceed on this evening. And I'll go back and check the recording after this lesson. Okay. Tonight, and I want to say once again, I want to welcome everybody out to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. I'm Brother Miles, and this is the series on discipleship, what Messiah calls us to be, because this is critical to our walk as the saints of the Most High. And if we are not going to do what he says to do, then there's really no reason to be doing any of this. Okay, if we're not willing to give ourselves and be what it is that he wants, then there's really no reason to do this. So let us start this off. By definition, what a disciple is. And as I said, some of this you've heard already. The first part of this you have heard before. As we move into the other aspects of this, then it shouldn't be new to you if you study, but it may be new to you in that as far as a lesson goes, I have not covered this under discipleship, some of these aspects of the things, okay? So, discipleship, definition. And Sister Denise, if you will, I will give you a call after the lesson tonight and help you get that program installed on your machine. I apologize. It completely slipped my mind. And so we'll do it tonight. Okay. After this lesson. All right. Discipleship, by definition, one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrines of another, such as Christianity. You can be a disciple in Christianity, one of the 12 in the inner circle of Messiah's followers, according to the gospel accounts. A convinced adherent of a school or an individual discipline, so like those who were disciples of Freud, Sigmund Freud, and they believed in, you know, psychology and science, the psychology and things like that. So they followed him. In the scriptures, a disciple is shown to be someone who follows the teaching and life of another until the person becomes like the master, like the one that they're following. So like in martial arts, you will hear this a lot, you know, they have a martial arts teacher, and they call him their master, their teacher, okay, and they are ascribing, trying to become like him as far as their skill set goes and that person's philosophy, okay. In our walk, we're trying to become like Messiah, like Christ, okay. So the disciples of Christ is to become like Christ in everything, to become like Messiah in everything, in every way. He walked sinless. He wanted us to walk sinless. He wants us to become like him. So let's start this off in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. The book of Matthew, chapter 13. Excuse me. And I just got stuff all over the place here. I think I need to move this screen. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 9. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, the them is the masses, the everyday person. Okay, the masses in our forefathers. This thing still applies today. Okay, it was not just for our forefathers. It was not just for Israel, even though it was a prophecy. When you look at people today, people are doing what they want to do. And they're coming to their own understanding. And they're not using the word of the Most High to come to those understandings. And even if they are, a lot of the times, they are not doing it by his spirit. Okay, it is his spirit that gives understanding. It says, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be, for whosoever has understanding, to him, now I added that word understanding there because that's what he's talking about, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance.
For whosoever has not understanding, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. So understand that that verse is talking about understanding. It's not talking about your worldly possessions. It's not talking about, you know, what you've gotten. It's talking about understanding in the scriptures. Okay? Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. All those verses are about understanding. Hearing the word of the Most High and being able to comprehend spiritually what he's saying, and to be able to take it in and to do it. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and they hearing, hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, but by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. You won't perceive or understand what you're seeing. They'll see a miracle and still won't understand what's going on. They will hear the scriptures and they will not understand. It will be explained to them and they will not understand. Why? Because it's not given to them to understand it. And in the, verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. See, a lot of people aren't able to be healed, even in the scriptures, in the gospel, in the word, because they have no understanding. They're doing what they want to do. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them. Now he's speaking about the Hebrews in this sense, okay, our forefathers, the scribes and the Pharisees, the Sadducees. And to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Now, they, all of them, desired to hear these things, and a lot of them heard them but didn't understand. Because if they had understood, they would not have killed Messiah. Okay, they would not have done it. It would have had to have happened another way. Let's continue. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Let's go to verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And the scriptures read, but seek you first the kingdom of Elohim. Do that first. That should be your priority. Seek you first the kingdom of Elohim. Don't just hope you get in. Don't just, you know, well, if I make it, I make it. Well, I believe I'm going to make it. But then don't do what he say do. But seek you first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, not our own righteousness, but his righteousness. Because, see, we can have some standards of our own and think that they are just and that they are right, and they go clearly go against the word of the Most High. They clearly go against his laws. They're right in our own mind. So we have to seek his righteousness, not our own. And all these things shall be added unto you. Go to Matthew chapter 13, the book of Matthew chapter 13. So first seek you the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, not our own, not what we think is right, because only thing that is right is what he says is right. Everything else is of our own. Matthew chapter 13. So, before I move on, let me make sure I state this the right way. The Most High wants us, the first thing on our minds is to get into his kingdom. That should be our first motivation of what we're trying to do, what we're trying to do with our life. Because, you know, we're looking for and seeking some type of satisfaction out of what we can accomplish in this life. But the Most High says, if you really understand truth, then you know that it has to be my kingdom that you seek first and my righteousness, what I say is right. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Now, Messiah is going through and he's giving them examples of the kingdom. Okay? He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field. So if you could obtain the kingdom and it was a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man has found, he hides. So you're walking through this field and, you know, you just walk and you kick some dirt and a gold bar, something gold comes up and you reach down and you dig and you find a big gold bar. You know that gold bar don't belong to you, but you also know that it was buried. And so you go and find out who owns the field. And you sell everything that you have to get that field. Because you know the treasure that's in the field. And if you own it, it's yours. Can't help that the person that owned it don't know it's there. This is what the scripture is saying. You're going to go and sell everything that you have. It's going to take your all. Everything that you have, it may be enough to buy the field, but what's in the field is more valuable than what you have. And so, you know, you might say, well, you know, this field's only worth $500, $1,000, whatever. But you know that there's a gold bar that's worth $50,000, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $1,000,000. Put whatever price you want to put to it. Okay, so you go sell everything. He says, now you got to want the kingdom that way. You got to value the kingdom that way, that it's more precious than anything that you have, anything that you can get. There's nothing more precious on this earth than the kingdom of heaven. And getting the kingdom of heaven is your first priority. I don't care what I got to give up. If I got to give my all, and he's saying you got to sell, you're going to sell everything. You're going to give everything. It's the only way you're going to get in. If you're not willing to give everything or to sell everything to achieve it, you don't really want it. Again, verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all. Everywhere we look in the scripture, the Most High doesn't ever want a piece of us. He never wants what we just want to give him. He wants our all that he had and bought it. So the message in both of those verses are the kingdom is worth everything you have. There's nothing that you have, nothing that you can obtain that's earthly that is more valuable than the kingdom. So if you say, oh, well, I'm a poor person, I don't have a lot, your all is your all. If you are a billionaire or a trillionaire, that is not more valuable than the kingdom of heaven, obtaining the kingdom of heaven. You can't take none of that stuff with you. Well, you came into this world with nothing, and if you go by the way of the world, you will leave this world with nothing. Can't use nothing in the grave from this world. So he's telling you, no matter how much you have, whether it's a big yacht, whether it's a jumbo jet, whether it's a mansion on top of a mountain, a Rolls Royce, doesn't matter how much you have, it is not more valuable than getting into the kingdom, getting the kingdom. He says that's the mindset we have to have. Okay, let's go to Psalms 119, the book of Psalms 119 and verse 2. Psalms 119 and verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. So seek the kingdom first and Elohim and his righteousness. Be willing to give your all and serve him and seek him with your whole heart. If you're giving him your all, you're willing to you know, if you're willing to give up everything to get the kingdom, and then you're going to be seeking him with your whole heart anyway. But if you're not, if you're holding back anything, if something is more valuable to you in your heart or in your mind, even your own life, then you don't really want the kingdom. The Most High says, I want your all. I want your whole heart. Don't just give me what you want to give me. But Most High, that should be enough. Is that your whole heart? Well, no, I reserve a little bit for this or for myself or for my own safety or just in case this ain't true. Said, no, I want your whole heart. I want you to serve me with everything. Your all. So, if you are serving him with your all, then you're going to be keeping his commandments. Let's drop down. Let's go to drop down to verse 34. Psalm 119 and verse 34. So one, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and Elohim and his righteousness. Do that first. Yeah, I want to get into your kingdom, and I want to know how to get in there. And I want to know what you say is right. I want you to be my standard. You're going to be my standard. Okay. Then value the kingdom. The kingdom has to be the most valuable thing to you. And then you got to serve him with your whole heart. Be willing to give your all. Psalm 119 and verse 34. Give me understanding. Because we think we have understanding. But if you have understanding, then you will keep his law. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. To not do that means you have no understanding, or very little, or you're just not willing to do it. If you understand that that's what you're supposed to do and don't do it, then you're not willing to do it. But he says you have no understanding. If you don't understand it, you got to keep his law and observe it with your whole heart. If you're going to serve him with your whole heart, then you got to observe his law with your whole heart, and you will have understanding. And things that don't make sense to other people, they will make sense to you. Why? Because you're doing it from your whole heart. You're doing it from a heart, a willing heart. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 24. The book of Jeremiah chapter 24. And let's get verse 7. So, again, we have to seek the kingdom of Elohim first and his righteousness, number one. That's the first thing we have to do with our life. Most High, I want to be in your kingdom. I want to know what you say is right. And I want to do it. Then you got to... Once you are seeking the kingdom, then you got to value the kingdom as the most valuable thing that you can obtain. As I said, it don't matter how much money you have. It don't matter how many possessions you have. It don't matter how big a house you have. It don't matter if you don't have those things. As long as you're willing to give your all, because that's what he said it takes. So if you are a poor person, you still got to be willing to give the Most High your all. If you are the richest man on the planet or woman on the planet, you got to be willing to give the Most High your all to get into his kingdom. None of that stuff can be more important. So the value of the item or how much wealth you have, how much power you have, is of no consequence. If you have no power, if you have no wealth, whatever you have, like the widower and her mite, she only had one mite, but she gave her all. And that's what the Most High is looking for, that willing heart to give your all. to value the kingdom that much that you would give it your all, that you would serve him with your whole heart, and that you would have understanding. You only have understanding when you understand that you shall keep his law. You have to keep his law with your whole heart. When you understand that, then you have understanding. Anybody that says that they don't have to keep his laws, they have no understanding. They might think they do, but they don't. Jeremiah 24, verse 7. Now, this is for Israel, but this really is for the world, because this is how the Most High wants everybody to come to him, but especially us. I will give them a heart to know me, to know Yah, that I am Yah, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim. For they shall return unto me. How they want to, doing their own thing, giving me what they want to give me. No, they shall return unto me with their whole heart, not divided, not twisted, not, you know, well, Most High, I can go this far, but I can't go that far. Their whole heart. Okay. So to Luke chapter 14, the book of Luke chapter 14. So we know the Most High wants our whole heart. To be his disciple, we have to give him our whole heart. To be his disciple, can nothing be more valuable to us than his kingdom? And the first thing that we should be seeking is his kingdom and his righteousness. And understand, when you say righteousness, just replace righteousness with lawfulness. Because his laws are what determine what's right and what's wrong. Okay. Luke chapter 14, starting verse 26. Now this is Messiah. And this is not Brother Miles, so we're going to read Messiah's words, because people play with this, okay, and I believe that we read it and don't really, really understand or comprehend that he's telling us exactly what he wants for us to be his disciple. Anything short of this, he says it himself, so let's just read it. If any man come to me, Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 26, if any man or woman, man is mankind, okay, come to me and hate not his father, mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Can't say we're following him, trying to be like him, if we're going to put anybody, even our own self, before him. Now, these are his words. So when we are contemplating what we should be doing, when we're contemplating, you know, well, my mother said this, my father said that, my husband said this, my wife said that, this is what my children think. If we're going to put anybody before him, their opinions, our love for them, before him, he says, you cannot be his disciple. Can't be a follower of his. Now, Brother Miles didn't say that. It is written. Verse 27. And whosoever does not bear his cross, your cross is whatever you're given to do, and come after me, cannot be my disciple, cannot be a follower of mine. For which of you, now this is critical, because this is what, you know, this is what people never explain to young Christians, to even old Christians, to people who are saying they're walking in the faith and they're struggling. We're not supposed to struggle with this. We're supposed to already know what it takes. For which of you intending to build a tower sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? You got to count the cost. Am I willing to do this? He wants my all. He wants me to give my everything to this, to say that I belong to him, to say that he is my master, that he's my teacher, he's my savior, he's my redeemer. He wants me to become like him. And he says, if I gotta sit down and figure out whether I'm willing to do that. But see, if you don't know what it takes, if nobody ever tells you what it takes, then you might think that what you're giving and what you're doing is sufficient. He says, no, I want your all. You can't love nobody more than you love me, not even your own self. And you got to give me your all. Period. And if you're not willing to pay that price, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot be a follower of me. You cannot become like me. Okay, we can hear this. So if you don't consider the cost, what's going to happen is you're going to fall short. If let's say, put this in the natural sense. You go and you say, hey, I want a 14,000 square foot home. I want 6 bathrooms. I want 12 bedrooms. I want a master bedroom that's 2,000 square feet by itself. I want to have everything in that master bedroom. I want to have a kitchen. I want to have, my master bedroom is its own apartment by itself. And you go about to start building and ordering stuff, only to find out that, hey, you never considered how much all of that's going to cost. He says, then what's going to happen is you're going to lay the foundation and not be able to finish. Well, I didn't know this was going to take millions of dollars. I thought maybe $140,000 would get it. And, I'm talking foolishly. That's a big exaggeration. But, he's saying you got to consider the cost. What is it going to take to follow him? What is it going to take to be like him? Really, what is it going to take to be saved by him? Least happily, after he has laid the foundation, he is not able to finish it, and all that behold it began to mock him. I thought you said you were saved. I thought you said you were living for Messiah. I thought you said you had been converted. You had been changed. Yeah, that was last week. I didn't know it was going to take all that. I had it better when I was over here in Satan's side. I've heard people say that. The more I try to do good, the worse things happen to me. I don't know why I should be good. Didn't count the cost. And this is not just, the new saints. This is people who have been in this walk for years, going through the motions, not giving their all, trying to apply the world standards to the kingdom. Because that's what they were taught to do. This is what was permissible, but this is not what is written. So we want to make sure, we understand, what is it going to take to walk after Messiah? What is it going to take to be his disciple, to be saved by him? Verse 31, Luke 14, verse 31. So this is another example. Or what king going to make war against another king sits not down first? Because you're in a war. And it's a spiritual war. It's a spiritual battle. It's a battle for your soul, for your eternity. What king going to make war against another king sits not down first and consults. Let me talk to my generals. What capabilities do we have? What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? Whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000. Can I win this battle? Or do I need to send an ambassador to this king that's coming to meet me with 20,000 and said, hey, what do I need to do to be at peace with you? How can I appease you? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, an ambassador, and desires conditions of peace. What do I have to do to be at peace with you, Most High? Keep my commandments. Obey my voice. If not, you ain't going to be at peace with me. You abide in my wrath. I'm angry and I'm coming to get you. So you got to consider these things. You got to count the cost. And you really saying what side you want to be on. Because see, you can't say you're on the Most High side and then disobey him. You going to disobey the king? If you're part of the military and you disobey your commanding officer and you're at war, he has the right by law to just shoot you in the head and kill you for disobedience. You see how we treat the Most High? Because we feel like we can just do that, and I'm sorry. Most I said, that's a dying offense. So you need to consider. Because if you break my commandments, all through this book, to break the commandments is a death sentence. There's very few things that you can do and break, and it not be a death sentence. Especially if you know what you're doing. You didn't disobey ignorantly. You disobeyed willfully. That's death. And see, we can see it in the natural if we were saying we were going to war and you're a soldier and you got on your uniform and this captain or this colonel says, okay, run up that hill. You know good and well you run up that hill, you're probably going to die. You still got to run up that hill. And if you don't run up that hill, he shoots you. So you're going to die one way or the other. You've got to consider what you got into, what you're getting into. Are you willing to pay the price? And the Most High don't let us set our own terms. That's what a lot of people want to do. They want to set their own terms. But Most High, I can serve you like this, and I'll serve you to this degree. So you might be getting into a fight that you are either not willing to fight or you don't have the tools to fight it. Then you got to ask the Most High for those tools. Verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes, now everybody needs to hear this. Whosoever, you, me, anybody that comes to Messiah, he be of you that forsakes not all that he has. He cannot be my disciple, cannot be a follower of mine. See, because we think that the disciples were just those 12 that followed him. You and I and everybody out here are supposed to be disciples. We're supposed to be becoming like him. We're supposed to learn from him, follow him. And he says, if you're not willing, if you don't forsake all, you cannot be my disciple. That's heavy. Because many people don't want to give him their all. They want to be saved, And I truly believe he's talking to those people. I did miracles in your name, doing what they wanted to do. I didn't know you. You were disobedient. You wouldn't follow me. You wouldn't give me your all. You defined your salvation for yourself. Because I told you, if you weren't willing to give me your all, if you put anybody else before me or anything before me, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife, your children, you couldn't be my disciple. You couldn't follow me. But see, Christians think that, hey, we ain't got to follow him. We just got to call on his name, and we're going to be saved. So if you call on my name, how do you say you love me and do not what I say do? How do you say you love me and keep not my commandments? I'm telling you, you can't love nobody more than me. But see, people don't read that as a commandment. I'm telling you that you got to consider the cost. Oh, no, I'm a sinner. I just need to be saved. I just want to get into the kingdom. It's going to take you your all to get into the kingdom. You have to serve the Most High with your whole heart to get into the kingdom. See, these are commandments, but no, people don't want to keep the commandments. And anything short of this, we fall short. We're not going to cross the finish line. So, verse 33 again. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple, cannot be a follower of mine. See, we want to hold on to things in this world for ourselves. We want to say we accomplished this or we accomplished that. For ourselves, our own glory. He says, no, you need the glory in me. You need the glory in the Most High. Go to Luke chapter 17. Now I want to go to another verse real quick before we go there, just a second. One moment. You know, I read to this computer and my mouse is so small. Good grief, I have a hard time telling where it's at. I need to change it so I can see it going across the screen so I can tell which one of these monitors it's on. Okay, there we are. Let's go to John chapter 16. But when we read in Matthew's, and I should have read this earlier, but when we read in Matthew's, it said it was not given to them to understand. The disciples asked, why do you speak to them in parables? Okay, let's go to John chapter 16. The book of John. Oh, you know what? Let me go on. Just a second. Let me bring up this Bible on this machine. I haven't loaded it back to my new machine yet. John chapter 16. So we read this from Matthew's. Let's read the same account from the book of John, chapter 16. And we're going to be getting verses 29 and 30. Probably going to go a little bit higher than that. Just a second. Now, he's talking about his mission here. And remember, he spoke to the masses in parables. And he spoke to them in parables because he did not want the masses to understand that the prophecy of Isaiah would be fulfilled. He wanted his disciples to understand. And today, he didn't want the masses to understand. He wants those that truly want to follow him to understand. And his disciples said, verse 29, and his disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly. Why are you speaking to them in parables? Now you speaking to us plainly and speak no proverb. You're telling us plainly. Now we are sure that you knowest all things, that you know all things and need not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that you came forth from Elohim. Messiah said, answer them, do you now believe? Because I spoke, now, got to understand that 99.9% of the time, when Messiah was teaching, he taught the parables, and he had to go back and teach the disciples what it meant. And a lot of times they were confused. Master, tell us about the parable of this, or explain to us this, because we don't understand. You're speaking to you're speaking to everybody in parables. But then he would go back and just explain to his disciples. He wouldn't explain the parable to everybody, to the masses. He did not want the masses, everyday person, everybody, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. He didn't want everybody understanding. They had to truly be seeking after the Most High. And so his disciples here finally say, now you're speaking to us plainly. What you're doing, where you're going, where you're coming back from, not in a proverb, not in a parable. And Messiah says, do you now believe? And this is where we have to get to. This is where we need to be at. We need to believe because his disciples didn't believe him. Most of the time, they didn't even understand. Even when we have the parables explained to us, a lot of times we still don't understand the parables or we don't accept them. It's just a story. So you speak, now you're speaking to us plainly. Now we can understand what you're saying plainly. Now we believe that you are who you say that you are. So if they were that way, then understand that the only way we get understanding is the Most High gives it to us. That we ask him for it. And that we submit to him. Because you can't get understanding from anything that you're not willing to submit to. I don't care if it is, you know, if you're in school and you're taking algebra. Until you submit yourself to the rules of algebra, you can't understand algebra. Until you submit yourself to the rules of anything, you can't understand how it works. And when we don't submit ourselves to the word of the Most High, there's no way to understand. It's not going to make sense. Why? Because the rules and the protocols that he put in place, just understanding that he is sovereign and what he says goes, period. We cannot understand. And so we have to always accept that and understand that we have to be in submission to him. And he says, how are you going to get it? By submitting to me with your whole heart. By wanting this so bad that you would give up everything that you have, that you've achieved, that you've gained in this life to get into the kingdom. By obeying my voice. That's how you get understanding. And that comes through submission. And when we are not willing to submit to him with our whole heart, we will not get understanding. It is impossible. Will we have a understanding? Yes. Will we have the understanding? No. We will not. And we'll say, this is what I think. This is what I understand. And you will be telling the truth. That's what you think and that's what you understand. but is it what he said? And is it the understanding that he wants you to have? Two different things. And we are happy and satisfied within the first, our own understanding. And we're happy with what we're willing to give. But he says, I want your all. Period. No debating that. No discussing it. You either gonna give me your all or I don't want anything. People don't want to hear that. Give me your all, or I don't want anything. That's why he says, he that gives with a willing heart, let them bring me an offering. And they will bring their all. Most High, this is what I got. This is all the gold I have. This is all the silver I have. The people gave so much that they couldn't receive it all. They had to tell them to stop. All those that were willing, they gave more than what was needed. That means they were giving their all in whatever they were bringing. That's what he wants. He wants us to submit and give him our all. He wants us to value the kingdom more than we value anything in this world. He has to be first. And his ways first. Not our ways. His ways first. We erase our ways. We reprogram ourselves to be like him. Luke chapter 17. Because we got to understand, this has to be within us. It has to be the way that we are. We have to want to live the way that he wants us to live. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of Elohim should come, when is this kingdom going to come? He answered them and said, the kingdom of Elohim comes not with observation. You don't see somebody being filled by the Spirit of the Most High. That's why you need a sign. There's no way, unless the Most High gives you the gift to see it, that you can see his Spirit enter into somebody. There's no way for Peter and the six believers, the ones that had been converted, Hebrews that were with him that he took from Joppa, to know and see when the Spirit of the Most High entered into Cornelius and his family. They needed a sign. Comes without observation. You don't see it, but you can hear it. That's why he says tongues are for a sign. And when it says not to them that believe, but to them that believe not, the believers in that verse, or the people who don't believe, are believers. I've already been filled with the Spirit of the Most High. I tell you, you need to be filled. I lay hands on you. And I don't know if the Most High filled you with his Spirit, except for I see the sign. So, for they heard them speak with tongues. There's no other way to know. Am I supposed to wait for you to start bearing fruit? Am I supposed to wait for you to start being loving and kind, merciful? You can do that without the Spirit of the Most High, in a human kind of way. But your motivation and the things that you're doing and the level that you can do it at will be different when you're filled with the Spirit of the Most High. And while you're doing it, like I said, motivation will be different. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of Elohim is within you. When you are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, you have to start becoming obedient to the Most High. You have to obey His voice. You have to keep His commandments. You have to keep His statutes, His laws, His ordinances. Because the kingdom is not just you being filled with the Spirit, but it's a government. With the Most High being the King. It has laws. And that kingdom has to be within you. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of the Most High. I obey His laws. He told me to obey the laws of man unless they contradict His laws. Because He don't want no confusion. He don't want no bickering back and forth and arguing and doing those things. Mankind is supposed to follow after His laws. They're supposed to make their laws after His. But we know men don't do that. So He says, obey the laws of the land unless the laws of the land contradict His laws. Then you obey His laws. And you got to be willing to face the consequence of man. You got to be able to believe that the Most High is going to protect you in it. That in the end, you're going to come out of it on top for keeping His laws. But even if it costs you your life, look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look at Daniel. Look at Joseph. These are all people who were not in their own land. They were in the land of their captors. And their captors wanted them to do something that was contrary to the laws of the Most High. Bow down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. You shall not bow down to any image of any man or anything in the heavens or the earth. You keep His laws. That's why I say, when the world says, oh, being homosexual is okay, it's lawful, the Most High never said it was lawful. So there's no way that we, as His people, can say we condone that. You might have a niece or a nephew, a son or a daughter. Love them, but hate their way of life and never accept it. I love you, but I don't love what you're doing. I don't love your way of life. I'll never condone it. It'll never be okay by me. So he says, the kingdom is within us. And if you are a citizen of the kingdom, then you have to obey the laws of the kingdom. You have to the statutes of the kingdom. You got to obey the ordinances of the kingdom. You got to do the judgments of the kingdom. If you're placed in a position of authority, put in the seat of Moses as enforcing the law, see, because that's the problem with the law today. Men are enforcing what they want to enforce, how they want to enforce it. They enforce it differently for one race than another. And the Most High is going to hold them all accountable for that stuff according to their works. Oh, you were a police officer and you had a different standard for my people than you had for your own people. I told my people that if they had strangers living among them, there should be one law to the homeborn and to the stranger. If the stranger broke these laws, they were to suffer the same fate as the homeborn. It wasn't going to be two different standards because they weren't a citizen of the land. The same exact law. But no, you got the same laws with a different standard and you enforce them different. So the Most High says, yeah, I'm going to judge you according to your works. That's why it says, don't, for us not to fret that stuff. See, we'd be worried about, oh, they treat us this way, they're doing that. It's a fact of life. The Most High says, it is a fact of life. And what you have to do, vengeance is mine. I will repay them. We're not applying the law equally. You be humble and meek and of a contrite heart. And know that in the end, I have the final say-so. And if you have to suffer injustice, you have to suffer injustice until you receive your reward. And so they do these things. But you better be living by the kingdom of Elohim. It has to be within you. You can't say you have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and then be disobedient to God. Go to Matthew's. Chapter 3. So if you want to be a disciple of Messiah, you got to know that the kingdom of Elohim is within you. And you are to behave that way. And see, when we are trying, you know, we got all kind of people trying to become a sovereign entity. And they want to become sovereign unto themselves. And have the same power as the king and not be up under any of the laws of the land. But they don't want to be up under God's laws either. They want to be up under the laws of the world, maritime law, corporate law, the laws by which the world governs itself, but not the laws of the Most High. We are supposed to be sovereign citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Hear that again. We're supposed to be sovereign citizens of the kingdom of heaven, governed by its laws. And our head, we can never be equal with our king. Because our king is the Most High. He says, now I'm going to let you, if you overcome, I'll let you rule with me a day. You're still going to be in submission to me. So we got to understand that. See, there's many things that we don't have to be applicable to in this world. If we understand that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and so we are not subject to the laws of men where they are not applicable. Where they contradict the laws of the Most High. The Most High said, this planet, I gave you dominion over the fowl of the air, over the fish of the sea, over every living thing, creeping thing upon this planet. There's really not supposed to be borders. There's not supposed to be any place on this earth you can't go or that you need a document because He gave it to us. But because we follow the laws of men, then we place ourselves under their authority. And then if we find out that we're supposed to be sovereign, then we want to make ourselves equal with the king of England, more or less. Who was supposed to only answer to God. Or he made himself God. But we are to be in subjection to the Most High and his laws. Understand that. And you can structure yourself that way. Legally. But we don't. Why? Because we don't really believe that we're a citizen of the kingdom of Elohim. We'd rather become a citizen of the country of Morocco or some African nation. No, we are to be citizens of the kingdom of heaven. If we have understanding. And to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, you have to obey the laws of the kingdom of heaven. And we will be true disciples of Messiah because we understand. We would understand what he was really telling us. Let's go one more place for tonight. We'll pick this up in the morning. So I said it's going to be about four different lessons. I've taught a bit of this. We've done it for our, you know, when I did discipleship before, I only did the first part of this so that we understand that if we don't do what Messiah says, he says we cannot be his disciple. Because the mouse didn't say that. It is written. Okay, we either do what he says do or we doing all this for nothing. Going through the motions. Go to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is here." It's at hand, within hand's reach. It's here. Messiah told you that it's within you. It ain't automatically within you. You receive the kingdom without observation. When you are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, you become a child of the Most High. You're not a child of the Most High before then. You are not saved before then. And once you become his child, you have to obey him. You have to walk in his ways. Learn of his ways and walk in them. And you are a citizen of the kingdom. It's within you. So when John the Baptist started preaching, he said, hey, the kingdom is at hand. It's here. You got to find out how to get into it. That's what Messiah came for, to show us how to enter into the kingdom. Get the kingdom inside of us, become a citizen, and walk in his ways. We'll pick this up in the morning. What time is it? 6:47. You know what? We got a few minutes. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. The book of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Yeshua began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It's here. Repent. Recognize your evil ways and turn away from them. And obey the commandments of the Most High. Don't make up your own. The kingdom is at hand. Find out what you have to do to enter in. It's here. How do you get in? Repent. Repent from your what? Sin. You say repent to people today. They just want to say it generically, I'm a sinner. They never really want to acknowledge what their sins are and turn away from them. So if they don't acknowledge what they are, then they can keep doing them and say, I'm sorry. Or they believe they can say, I'm sorry. Forgive me for that. But because they were not given understanding, they don't understand it don't work that way. It does not work that way. It is not written that way. Now, what are you supposed to do? If you are truly a child of the Most High, and if you are truly a citizen of the kingdom, you've been given a job to do. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse No, Matthew's chapter 10. Matthew's chapter 10. And we're not just going to get verse 7. Okay. Now, in this day when Messiah is giving them, start in verse 1. We're going to read this, and we're going to go down. Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, and the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Yeshua sent forth and commanded, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter you not. Why? Because it wasn't time for, the Messiah did not want his disciples going to the Samaritans, but he did send somebody to them. He says, don't go into the way of the Gentiles. But go you rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go preaching, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's what you're supposed to be telling people, because that's what you're supposed to be offering, is the kingdom of heaven. How do you get in? How do you become a disciple of Messiah? And you have to tell them the truth. You got to be willing to give your all. You got to be seeking this first. This has to become your priority in your life. Repent from the ways that you've been thinking, the things you've been doing. You have to tell them the truth so that they can count the cost. So they can weigh do I really want to do this? Or is this not for me? Rather than, you know what, you should just be sorry you're a sinner and say, you repent and turn away from it, and you will be saved. No, you need to give them the truth so that they can count the cost and make an informed decision. Do I really want to follow Messiah, or do I not? Kingdom is at hand. This is how you get in. This is what you have to do. This is how you're going to have to think about the Most High. This is how you're going to have to think about Messiah. Set the expectations so people know what they have to do, what they truly have to do, and not make it up as they go or try to learn as they go, when this stuff like this can be said right up front. If we are truly students of the Word, we don't have to take people the long way about. Just tell them the truth. This is what it's going to take. Think about it. Is this what you want to do? You see, a lot of people come to Messiah, but that's why he says that's why he gives the parable of the sower. So with that being said, may the Most High bless you. We'll pick this up starting on tomorrow, and we'll continue in this, because as I said, I got about 15, 16 pages. I've only really taught about a page of this in the past. But we want to go through it in depth and see what Messiah said, and making sure that that's what we're doing. So may the Most High bless you. May He keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep His commandments, saints, for this is the whole duty of man. Shalom wherever you're at, and enjoy the rest of your evening. Spend some time with the Most High. Meditate in His Word. Sister Denise, I will give you a call right after this and let us get you back up and running. I got to do the same thing myself on this computer because I don't have it, no longer have it on this main computer now. Shalom, saints.
Yahuwah.
Shalom, my sisters. And shalom, family. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Please, if you will stay on there.